I just heard that Jimmy Carter passed away. At 100 years old, Jimmy Carter passed away. 100 years old. I remember well my oldest daughter, who you saw here today. I was a youth pastor in Florida. I mentioned that in my message. And I had her, you know, she's just a little girl, 2 years old. 2 years old, my oldest daughter. And I had her, we were in line going into church, you know, down in West Palm Beach, Florida. And I was trying to impress the people with her knowledge of politics. And I said, Amy, 2 years old, I said, who's the president of the United States? And she said, Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter. And I said, Amy, who's the vice president? She said, Walter Mondale. Walter Mondale. And I remember those days as a young father, young. And anyway, we were down in Florida, and that was all going on, and how time passes, and Jimmy Carter passed away. I really see a significance in that, and the significance, I believe, is Jimmy Carter was a real puppet president, unfortunately. He was a puppet of the globalists, and Jimmy Carter, he really... did a lot to further the globalist power over America and the control of America and bringing in these globalist liberal policies. Unfortunately, he taught Sunday school at Baptist, but he was a liberal. He was a Southern Baptist liberal, and I doubt very much he was saved. Jimmy Carter, sadly. I hope so, but I just don't have much to go on his profession of faith. And I believe Bill Clinton, big globalist puppet, George W. Bush, globalist puppet, George H.W. Bush, globalist puppet, of course, Joe Biden, you know, we know that. Bill Clinton, did I mention him? And all of these people, I think the passing of Jimmy Carter as a globalist puppet, the oldest surviving globalist puppet, is a message to us that God is giving us an opportunity to have a president that's not going to be a globalist puppet. He's going to be an America First president, and we need to pray for his protection and that he gets into office, just like we prayed for the election. We have to pray that he gets into office, and I do see an opportunity for you that want to build a family and build a home, that there's an opportunity to do that. But I want tonight to think about something. I was talking Sunday dinner. We were talking at Sunday dinner. And we were talking about the Lord coming back. That's what we were discussing with my two daughters and husband and grandkids and all that, my wife. And one of my daughters said that, yeah, it's been about 2,000 years since Christ died. And about 2030 will be 2,000 years since he died. And, of course, if you know your Bible, you know it's 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to the first coming of Jesus Christ, and about 2,000 years from his death till right now, at least 2030. And what I want to talk about tonight is we're focused on our mission, and we should be. We're focused on the Great Commission, on what God wants us to do. That should be our focus. But I also want to say the Lord wants us not only to work, but to watch for the Lord to come back. Because when he comes back, he will give you rewards for doing his work. And he will give you rewards, and he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And guess what? You and I are being trained to rule with Christ over his coming kingdom. And so he wants you to be faithful to do his work. And so we need to watch for the second coming. And the scripture I want to look at tonight is found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13. And I'm going to read to you verses 35 and verse 36. And here's the Lord. He's saying this to you and I as we end 2024, as we come into 2025 with a new president, America First president, and we can get all excited about that. I know, Brother Bobby, we've been praying for years for this, and we are just so excited to see President Trump get in there. But here's what the Lord says to us. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The name of my message is keep watching for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I've been watching for Christ to come back ever since I got saved. I got saved in 1967. Go figure that out. And I've been watching for the Lord to come back ever since that time. And I want to say that he says the Lord may come at even. What's even? 6 p.m. at night. That's when evening begins. That's when the day begins. 6 p.m. at night. And then he says at midnight. You know, that's 12 o'clock. And then he says at cock crowing. Well, when is cock crowing? It's before dawn. It's before dawn. The rooster crows early. Gets you up, you know, to do your work. It's before dawn. And then he says, in the morning. Watch in the morning. What's the morning? 6 a.m. 6 a.m. starts the morning. And he says, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And who's he talking to? He's talking to his disciples. And can I say tonight, just like people sleep in church, and sometimes people talk in church, and they get all excited about what they're talking about, especially teenage girls. They tend to do that. But anyway, I'm saying God doesn't want you sleeping. God doesn't want me sleeping. He wants us alert, awake. You remember the disciples were sleeping at the first coming. He was going to die. And Peter said, well, I'll die with you, you know. And baloney, he couldn't stay awake and pray and watch with Jesus. He was all alone. And so I'm saying, I want to be ready when Jesus comes back. You say, well, he might not come back for 100 years. Listen, I want to be ready when Jesus comes back, and I want to be alert and watching and talking about that. So I want to preach on that tonight. I want to say something about some folks when it comes to watching. And I had this in Bible college, and many of you have been taught this in Bible college. I know folks that have been in independent fundamental Bible colleges, and they just couldn't go along with the view of the second coming that was being taught. Even though, you know, I believe Israel and the church are two separate things. But what they teach you in Bible college is, well, when it says to watch, and I'll read it to you just so you got it. It says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh at evening and so forth, like we just said, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now, when he's talking there, he's talking to one of the men. Tell me, let's do this. One of the men tell me, we'll have the men help me preach tonight, teaching message. When he's saying here, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, lest coming he find you sleeping. Who's he talking to? All right, let's go with Dr. Luke.
The church.
Okay, but you're right, in a sense, but I mean even more directly than that. We'll get to what Luke just said, because you're right. You're on the right track, Luke. You definitely are. Yep.
Christ's disciples.
All right, the 12 disciples. Now, here's what they teach you in Bible college, which is screwed up, because I believe this, and as a pastor, I regurgitated the notes for many years, but I was troubled with the Bible. Bible always messes me up. And so he was talking to his 12 apostles. And what do they teach you in Bible college? Does anybody know what they teach you when, they're talking to the 12 apostles? What do they say that's referred to?
That's the Jews, and just for the Jews.
Yeah, they represent the nation of Israel. They don't represent as Luke said, the church. They represent the nation of Israel. So here's what they're saying. When it's talking about watching, you have to remember in Mark 13, he gives the signs of the Olivet Discourse, which are the signs of the coming. And they say there's two comings. One, he comes to earth in glory, and the other, he comes in the air for the church. Okay? And so this is talking about the one where he comes in glory to Israel, and it's talking to the Jews, right? For the Jews to watch. And that's why he talked to the apostles, because they were all what? Jews, right? But wait a minute here. The apostles were not unsaved Jews. They were saved Jews. And who were the apostles? They were the foundation of the church. Ephesians chapter 2, it says Christ is the cornerstone and the apostles are the foundation stone of the church because they gave us the New Testament. So when he's talking to the apostles, Luke, you're right, he was talking to church believers built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So you know, it's not talking to the Jews after the rapture occurring before the 7 years, which they call the tribulation. By the way, there's nowhere where those 7 years are called the tribulation. And so you say, why are you teaching us this? Because I want you to know how to watch. I want you to not be surprised and confused when it comes to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now he says in Mark 13, 36, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And that was directly the apostles. And then he says, and I say unto you, I say unto all. You see, not just the apostles, but all of the children of God that will be alive during that time. And so I want to talk to you about what it says in Mark 13, Matthew 24, Luke's Gospel, about the Olivet Discourse. I'll give this back to you. And about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to keep watching for the second coming, you're going to have to know about these things that will occur during this end time period that is coming. And the church is part of that. All right, so let me give you 2 points tonight. Keep watching for the second coming because you are already living, get this, in the last days. You're already living in the last days. Now, I wonder if one of the men could tell me, when did the last days begin according to the Bible? Now, we have to start thinking like God thinks. When did the last days begin? You're living in the last days. All right, I'm going to go way back here to Sarge. Go ahead, yell it out. All right, the 14th of May, 1948. Kyle, do you have anything when the last days began? Okay, the same thing. Jesse? He's got it. When Jesus died on the cross and during his first coming, and we could even say during his earthly ministry. You say, well, where do you get that from? Well, it's not from some notes of a professor. Here's what the Bible says. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now that's speaking about the Old Testament, right? He spoke to different prophets in different ways through the Old Testament. How much time are we talking about in the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi? 4,000 years God was speaking. 4,000 years through various prophets. 4,000 years. And so he said that's what God did. This is Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, you know, dreams, visions, audible voice, theophanies, diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The last day started with the New Testament, started with the first coming of Jesus Christ. You see, it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come that first time. You might begin to think, well, God is not true. He's made us promises about this Messiah. He's going to come. He's going to do these wonderful things. And he didn't come for 1,000 years, for 2,000 years, for 3,000 years, 4,000 years, and he comes. And then the last days begin with his public ministry when he began to speak. And then he died on the cross, and through the apostles he finished the New Testament. And so these are the last days, beginning with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And during these last days, it's now possible for the kingdom of God to come to the earth. See, they were confused. They thought Messiah, when he came the first time, was going to set up his kingdom. But the Bible says he had to die for our sins, be buried and raised from the dead, and then he had to come back and set up his kingdom. So they just thought it was all one coming, but no, there's like a mountain here and 2,000 years for the next mountain or so, and that's his second coming. And in his second coming, he's going to set up his kingdom on earth. And right now, the work that we're doing is to get people saved and trained so they can be reigning over the world to come. You know, we're going to heaven, you say, if we die. But listen, heaven's coming down to earth and the New Jerusalem. And your job will be, if you're saved, to rule over the earth. And how faithful you are with what God's told you to do will determine what your rewards will be in the kingdom. I don't know about you, but I know it's a big motivator to have rewards. The Apostle Peter said to the Lord, we left our homes, we left our families, you know, we left stuff to serve you. What are we going to get for it? And can one of the men tell me what Jesus told Peter in Matthew's gospel that he was going to get for that as a reward?
Houses and lands and persecutions and everything.
Yeah. So he was going to have all kind of blessing in this world, where he would have houses and lands, and it's not talking about necessarily owning houses, but he could go to all these different houses and preach and all the blessings that he would get. And he said something else. Do you know what it is, Luke?
A job in the mediatorial kingdom.
Yeah, they'd have a job. Do you know what the job was? Did anybody know? Any of the men know? What was their job?
To rule.
To rule. And specifically, Bobby? Say that again loudly. There you go. Each apostle will judge one tribe of Israel. Does anybody know who will reign over the whole nation? So it's with Old Testament saints too. Yes? King David. King David is going to be rewarded to reign over the nation of Israel. Each of the apostles will rule and reign. And so that is a glorious thing. I believe what John R. Rice believed. John R. Rice believed that the rapture, the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints will all be together in the church, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And then we'll have the judgment seat of Christ. He'll give you your rewards, and you'll lose rewards, and you'll have a place in the kingdom to serve God. So this is really important. And you are living in the last days, and I am living in the last days. And I believe that we're all to be watching. Now you say, well, how about in the days of the apostles? Were they to be watching for Christ to come? How about in the, you know, we have so many things that have happened that you guys just talked about that are really making us watch. But are they to be watching? Well, here's what the Apostle Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago. He said this in about 60 AD. I'll read it. The Apostle Paul says, "For we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord." In other words, he said we. In other words, Paul felt that it's very possible that he would be alive when the Lord came back. And he was watching for the Lord to come back. And that's what you should be doing. You say, well, Donald Trump is president and we're going to have great things happen in America. Thank God for that. I do thank God for that. But don't you think that you should go to sleep on the second coming of Jesus Christ? You need to be aware of it and alert to it, because we are living in the last days, and he could come back. And so keep watching, keep encouraging others to watch for the second coming of Jesus Christ. I just got a thing, I think Awilda Rodriguez sent it to me. And it was about all the stuff in these vaccines. And there was a particular lady that was meeting with a doctor, and they had a printout, and she was sharing how these vaccines were killing this poor lady with graphene oxide and all this, and how it killed her heart, gave her myocarditis, how it affected her brain, how it affected her lungs, how it affected her organs of reproduction. And this Bill Gates is involved with this. His father and him, they're wicked people. They want to sterilize people so they can't have babies. You say, why? They want to kill people. Fauci, they want to kill. Why do they want to kill people? Because that's their religion. They believe in killing people. And that's why the Bible said in the last days, perilous times will come. And now we're in very perilous times, because my father took these jabs, you know, he took four of them, and he died after that. I just talked to Bob Page this morning. He said his dad, he was a rocket scientist, a brilliant man. He took that. Now he's had problems with his brain. I think all kind of negative effects from the jab. And he said it was like the Lord warned me, don't take it. And I didn't take it. Thank God if you were sensitive enough that you avoided these things. And they're also giving now bad vaccines that are not good. Many more of them for children. It used to be like four of them. Now it's up to 23 they give you if you go to the typical, get all your shots, you know. I believe by the grace of God, these people are going to be brought to justice. And we're praying for that. But I'm just saying to you that we are living in these times, and these people, these globalists, want to kill people, and they are devising ways, and we're living in very wicked times. So keep watching for the Lord to come back, because we know the Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse. Even though we're doing God's work, even though we're witnessing, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. And every dispensation at the end of it, see the failure of man, even the millennium. At the end of the millennium, it's going to be failure. And Satan's going to be released, and people are going to do bad things. Why? Because God is showing us in every dispensation, man is sinful, the heart is sinful. And so we have to pray. We have to pray, by the way, for the children to be saved. Take every advantage, every opportunity for children to get saved and pray for their salvation. It is so important. And for not just the children to get saved, but people that need the Lord. Watch, because the Lord could come back. I believe the Lord could come back in my lifetime. I believe the Lord could come back in my lifetime, and I'm watching for that. He may not, and if he does not, I'll submit to him. But I am watching for the Lord to come back, and so should you. You teenagers should be watching. When I was a teenager, I got saved and I was watching. So keep watching for the second coming, because you're already, listen, living in the last days. And my second and last point is, because you now should know that you are in the last days of the last days. We're in the last days, we know that. But we're in the last days of the last days. Let me ask you this. How do we know, what is the super sign that we're in the last days of the last days? And I'll give you a hint. There's a whole chapter in the Bible that talks about it. There are verses that talk about it. How do we know?
Because Israel has become a nation again.
Israel became a nation. AD 70, Jesus predicted that after Israel rejected the Messiah, that God would judge them through the Romans. And he did. AD 70, they were judged. And there was one more rebellion, and then they totally destroyed it. And they never came back as a nation, and never became a nation until AD 1948. From AD 70 through AD 1948. Now, does anybody know the chapter in the Bible that predicts that Israel in the last days, in the last part of the last days, would be regathered in unbelief, that they would be dry bones and the bones would come together and there would be a growing of muscle on the bones and then skin on the bones, and they would be regathered as a nation but dead spiritually. Anybody know where that is in the Bible? What chapter?
Ezekiel 37.
And I want to tell you something. I got saved, and I remember, I want to tell you something. I remember even before I was saved, I would go to my Grand Mabel's house in Muskegon. That's my mother's mother. My mother was here today. That's my mother's mother. You're going back in time. My mother's mother and her mother. Now I'm going back to her mother. So she was born back in the 1800s sometime. I know my grandpa on my dad's side was born in the Little Bighorn when the Battle of the Little Bighorn happened. So we are going back in time. But let me say something about that. I remember going in the 1950s, the late 50s, to Muskegon and going into my grandma's house. And my great-grandma, she was looking at the TV. You know, TV was new then. It came about the time we were born, Joe. And she's looking at the TV, and she had been saved, and she was all excited watching the TV because she was saying, we're living in the end times. Israel is a nation, and look at them. They're fighting, and God is helping them deliver them from their enemies. And that happened, you know, during the 1950s, and she could see it on the news reports on television, and it was so neat to see my great-grandma say that. And this godly lady left me, I still have her Scofield Bible. She died and left that Bible, and I got saved after she died and through her Bible, and I know she used to pray for me. And what I'm saying to you is that we are living in the last days of the last days because the nation of Israel has come back to their land and they are a nation among the nations of the world. But I want to say one more thing about that. There's something else significant that had to happen before the second coming of Jesus Christ that has to do with Israel that has been fulfilled. And one of the men tell me what that is. I'm going to go with Luke right here so I don't have to walk far.
Psalm 83.
Ah, that is something very true, but that's not fulfilled yet, but it's on the way. Kyle?
Israel is about the entire promised land.
Well, that hasn't happened yet. Something that's happened that is very important for the fulfillment of prophecy that happened, I'll give you a hint, the year I got saved. Sarge? Okay. All right. Nope, that's not it. You know it?
I think so.
All right, come on, help me out.
Is it that they're back in their land?
Yeah, they're back in their land. We already said that. But after they got back in their land, a big, huge event happened. Think back to 1967, a year of jubilee. Brother Steve, the Six-Day War, and that accomplished the recapture of the Temple Mount and the old city of Jerusalem. You see, Jerusalem has to be run down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled, and so Jerusalem has to be in the hands of Israel, and it was not in the hands of Israel until after the Six-Day War. So here's what I'd like to finish up with. Go to 2 Thessalonians, and I want to look at what Paul said about this in 2 Thessalonians. And let's look at chapter 2. He's talking about the second coming. And look at verse 1. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, 2 Thessalonians 2:1, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now, don't miss this. He's saying, we beseech you, we plead with you, by the coming, talking about the second coming, of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together unto him. Now, these are two participles, coming and gathering. Coming and gathering. There's a rule of the Greek language called Granville-Sharp's rule. And this, when you have two participles, and they are speaking, coming and gathering, about one and the same event. Two participles joined by a conjunction. So when Jesus Christ comes back, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:1, what is the first thing that is going to happen during his second coming? Now let me stop you. His first coming took place over 33 and a half years. It was his virgin birth, and he was in the temple at 12 years old. Then he started his public ministry, he was baptized, he did his miracles and so forth. That was all his first coming, his death, burial, resurrection, all his first coming. It didn't happen in one day. Some people think that the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be two second comings. No, there's one second coming. There are different words used for coming. This word coming is the Greek word parousia. Parousia means to come and then to accomplish certain things during that second coming period. And that's going to take place over not just days, weeks, months, but at least 2 years or more. And so the coming is the word parousia. And there are other words for his coming. But it's all part of his coming. So he says, our coming and our gathering to him. So what's the first event, one of the men tell me, of his second coming? Kyle, yell it out. Okay, it's right here in this passage. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2. Please find it in your scripture, verse 1.
The rapture.
Yes, amen. Look at this. It says, now, I just want you to get your Bible out. Because I always had these Bible college professors, and it didn't prove it to me from the Bible. Look what it says in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So the first thing he's going to do, Brother Kyle, when he comes back, he's going to gather us to him. Matthew 24 is going to send the angels to gather us to him. John talks about paralambano, John 14, will be gathered to him. He'll receive us unto himself. That's the first thing of his second coming. But there's more to follow. Just like when Lot was raptured out of Sodom, wrath came down on Sodom the same day. Just like when Noah went into the ark, the flood came the same day. The rapture is the first event of the second coming, but there is going to be the trumpets of wrath poured out at that time. And so you need to understand that when you look at the Bible and what Paul wrote about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then look at verse 2. He says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. What's the day of Christ? It's the good part of the day of the Lord. It's the part where we get raptured. Just before the wrath of God. He said, but that is not at hand. Why would they be troubled that that was at hand? Well, Matt, why would they be troubled? They were still there. So they missed it. They thought they missed it. And he's saying to them, you're still there, but you didn't miss the day of Christ, which is the first event of the second coming, which is the rapture. You didn't miss the rapture. And so he's going to explain to them what will be the signs, some key signs just before the rapture. Look with me at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now listen to me. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Don't let anybody deceive you. Don't be deceived. I don't care if it's a Bible college professor. I don't care who it is. Don't let any man deceive you by any means, for that day, and we know he's talking about the day of Christ, the rapture, first part of the second coming, shall not come except there come a falling away first. All right, so the first thing is there has to be a falling away. I don't have time to preach on that. That's a great apostasy. There's going to be a falling away first. I personally believe that's when the nation of Israel signs a covenant with the head of the European Union, the Roman, revived Roman Empire leader. They're going to sign a covenant, and he's going to guarantee them they can do their sacrifices, they'll have peace, they'll have protection from the European Union, the revived Roman Empire. They'll be part of the revived Roman Empire. I believe all of that, that's going to be the great falling away. What are they falling away from? Depending upon God, who blessed them in Psalm 83 and Ezekiel 38 and 39, you know, who took care of them. So let no man deceive you. There's going to be that apostasy first. And then what's the next thing? One of the men tell me in verse 3, get your Bible out, that has to be before that day of the rapture, before that first part. What is the next thing it says? Not only the apostasy, but what, Matt?
The man of sin to be revealed, sir.
The man of sin has to be revealed. People say, I'm not looking for Antichrist, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Well, I'm looking for Jesus Christ too, but the Bible tells me here this has to come first. You know, you're looking for your baby, right? But before you have your baby, you got to go through labor and transition. Ouch. I'm looking for the baby to come. Yeah, I was, but these things have to come, and it's good to understand that. You know, the water breaks. You go through labor pains and all. It's good to know that and to understand that. Listen to me, so that you are not confused and not deceived. And he says this guy is going to oppose, and verse 4, exalt himself above all that's called God or that's worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you. Well, where's the temple of God? Rebuilt in Jerusalem. That's why I said in 67 it was significant that the Jews got Jerusalem, that they got the temple. They're going to rebuild that temple. And we know that the Jewish Antichrist is going to lead them into apostasy, to trust a Gentile power to take care of them instead of God. And then he's going to lead them to worship a man. And that man is going to be the Gentile beast, Revelation 13, the first beast. And the second beast, the Jewish Antichrist, he's going to lead them to worship that beast and put up an image in the Holy of Holies of the beast in the temple. A hologram or some kind of image. And they're going to worship him. And he's telling us this right here and talking about this right here. This is happening, listen to me, before the rapture, before the second coming. Now, one of the men tell me, if you know your Bible, and we got to wrap this up, but when does the world government conquer the world and the beast rules the whole world? It's during the 7 years that's coming. But what part of that, when does that happen in the 7 years?
Halfway through it.
Halfway through it, right in the middle. And the beast now is having his image in the temple. The Jewish Antichrist is doing miracles. And people are following that. And they are deceived. Just like a lot of people got deceived by these vaccines and everything else. And they followed all this garbage. And it's going to be a great deception of the devil. You see, some of you thought the rapture already is going to happen. No, God's telling you in 2 Thessalonians, you read it, that first there's going to be the apostasy of Israel. They're going to join this European Union and depend upon them. And they're going to do their sacrifices on the Temple Mount, depending on the European, on Rome. And then, halfway through the 7 years, this guy is going to invade, and he is going to be put as worship. Why is he going to do that? Because enough fighting between Jews and Gentiles or Muslims. We got to stop this. We need one world religion, and it's going to be humanism. We're going to worship me. That's going to be the religion. And this Jewish Antichrist is going to lead them to do that. And here, the Orthodox Jews are going to freak out. They're going to run. They're going to run from this guy, and he's going to be revealed halfway through the 70th week. I'll tell you who I believe he is. I believe he'll be Hitler coming back, cloned. But I'm just saying, he's coming. He's somebody that lived before, and he's coming back again, and this time is coming. You say, Pastor, what should we do? What you should do is work like crazy right now to get people saved. And if you're not saved, put your faith in Christ, because unless you have Christ and the Holy Spirit, you will be deceived. You will be deceived. The deception will be greater than it was during COVID and any of this garbage. It'll be so great. I don't know when it will be. It could be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 50 years from now. Or it could be in my lifetime. I don't know. But I know this. We need to be watching, and we need to be working. Because when the Lord comes back, he's going to end all these globalists. He's going to end this world government. He's going to set up his kingdom. And you will be, if you're faithful, you will be in a position of service, reigning with Christ. And we need to be preparing for that. Amen. So it's good you're here tonight. You could be somewhere else. It's good you're here tonight. Because you will be knowing things that the world does not know. And a lot of people that you think were saved, they're going to take the mark. Did you hear me? They're going to take the mark so that they could buy and sell and have the cushy life during that time. And so you need to be aware of these things. Amen? So you're not surprised. All right, let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. I've been talking about the last.